Or perhaps you do not have a King James. We use by conviction the authorized text here at First Bible. But if you raise your hand high, and we'll get you one. And if you don't have a King James in your possession, that's a gift to you. All right. We want you to be able to follow along. This is going to be one of those mornings, hopefully, that I want to read a lot of the Word of God today, but I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, believe it or not, I'm moving on. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I want to read it all, not all of it, but at least all as far as we're going. So go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that will be our text, and then we have to move to other parts of the Word of God in order to get the sense of what was said, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this has become, and I hope it has become, if I can get myself there, I hope it has become, by this power of God's Spirit, a better to understand as to what charity is and what it is not. But I just want to begin by reading, because we are going to move on to the next point. And actually, there are four points, but I'm only going to get as far as one this morning, maybe just two, mentioning the second one. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy," now these were absolutely biblical things, they were good. They were things that God permitted, God used. The speaking with tongues of men and angels, the speaking, have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith, certainly that's a wonderful thing. So that I could remove mountains. Boy, I don't know, that's pretty good faith. That's pretty deep water there. "And have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity," so those things really are not part of charity. "Have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." And we started by many months ago now, charity suffereth long. Flip the word around and you have long suffering. "And is kind." It's one thing to think you're long suffering, but it's another thing to think you are and not be kind. All right? "Charity is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself," means boast. "Charity is not puffed up," all right, "doth not behave itself unseemly." Unseemly had to do with boundaries. Only I think it only happens twice in your King James, that word. "Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked." Pastor said he was at the ball game yesterday, and I'm going to be honest with our men, I have a hard time watching. I have a hard time playing. So I can't play sports any longer. Okay. I have a hard time watching sports. Especially when our people are involved in it and we're playing. If we're playing among ourselves, it's one thing. But when we're playing another church or another organization, whatever it might be, and people start acting wrongly, they start acting poorly, and there is a part of me that wants to walk across the field And you see, I have two baseball bats in my house. One's in the kitchen, the other one's in my bedroom. And if I have to hit anybody out of the park some night, I'm going to do it. Okay, so that's just the way I'm hardwired. So it's best I don't even, because charity, see, remember the movie Dirty Harry with Clint Eastwood? I know you never watched Dirty Harry. Don't watch Dirty Harry, all right? Clint Eastwood was an L.A., I think it was an L.A. detective. And he said one phrase out of the whole movie, I remember one line, man's got to know his limitations. So you got to know your limitations. And that particular, it says, is not easily provoked. So I have a tendency not to put myself, or I try to not put myself in situations where I'm going to be easily provoked. All right. Thinketh no evil. And we spent a considerable amount of time on verse number 6. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. But now I want to go to verse number 7. I find four things in verse number 7. For all things. Beareth all. Now we've just left rejoice in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. And I will never get past number 1, so we won't even try this morning. I want to look at beareth all things. Beareth. Let's just begin with a word of prayer, all right? Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you so much. You've let us meet together again this Sunday, this first day of the week. And Lord, I think it's been well established here. This is not a duty and it's not a responsibility. It's such a wonderful privilege you've given to us to meet together as a church family, as a local church. And Lord, as I listen to my dear brother lead music this morning, singing, the songs again reminded me that there's a balance in this life. Even as a saved person, there's a balance. There are many joys, but there are also many heartaches. I think of my dear brother Lindell. The church there has become a friend of ours, and I know him well enough to know he's my friend, and I love him in Jesus Christ, and he's an old soldier, and he just a little bit of time I've been around him, he's just been a blessing, just a joy. Just a down-to-earth Christian who loves Jesus Christ, he and his wife. But he just said goodbye, temporarily. And all of that is bittersweet. It was even said he's got some sorrow now, yes. Not as others who have no hope, but he's got some sorrow. But he's happy for Verlene. She's not sick anymore. She doesn't have pain. She's up there waiting for her family. And Lord, we're going to look at beareth all things. And Father, we've got a church. It's your church full of people bearing something today. Heartache, financial problems, health problems. Just family problems, just temptations. And yet part of charity, even before I get into believeth all things, is beareth all things. So, Father, I need your help today. I without you doing the preaching and teaching, I will waste your time and God's people's time, and I don't want to do that. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. My strength, my Redeemer. May you be pleased today. May you feed your people. May you hide me enough. May I be hidden enough in Jesus Christ and nobody sees Pat Dean. But somebody will walk out of here just more impressed with Jesus Christ. Overwhelmed with Jesus Christ. Thank you, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was thinking about this message and how the Lord wanted me to approach it. Beareth all things. You know, we teach by a lot, by first mention, things that are first mentioned. Full mention somewhere. First mention is somewhere in the scriptures. Full mentions a little further on. You get a fuller meaning out of maybe a word or a statement or a sentence or whatever. Then there's last mention. So we do a lot of teaching with words. And it's not rocket science, folks. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't have a Bible program. I'm not computer literate. So I got my old concordance, and I sit down with my Bible, my King James Bible, and I sit down with a book, my concordance, and I ask God to give me something. And I just start following words from the beginning to the end, and my God's never failed me yet. He always gives me something to say, all right? Something to preach, something to teach. But I began to think about words that we use today that were not used before the fall. Words like bear, carry, that wasn't used before the fall. We're going to look where the word bear first appears. It appears first with Cain. You know, the word work, as far as man was concerned, you read the first three chapters. You know who was doing all the work? God. Even though Adam was given the privilege of tending and naming animals and taking care of the garden, it was never called work. Now, I like to work. I'm going to be honest with you. But you know what work makes me? Work makes me tired. How about the word labor? How about the word trouble? How about the word temptation? How about the word sweat? How about the word sorrow? How about the word death? How about, as I said, how about the word work? And you could go on and on and on. Can I take you to Genesis chapter 4? Genesis chapter 4. Now, I do have a considerable amount of verses that I want you to see. So, do our best to do this. Genesis chapter 4. Now, Adam has sinned. And Book of 1 Timothy says it in a different way, but Adam didn't sin. He was not deceived. The woman was deceived. Adam sinned willfully. Adam made a choice. And he's now expelled from the garden. And if I take you to Genesis chapter 4, this is the story of the first sons of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. It says in Adam, in Genesis 4, and Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived and bare Cain. Said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel. We won't get into all these things that we always talk about. Just let me read. Abel was a keeper of sheep. A keeper of sheep. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, in my Bible, I have an arrow drawn between sheep. And right across the page, I have Genesis 3:21, where it says, and unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. You go into the book of Proverbs, chapter 27, verse number 26, it says, the lambs are for thy clothing. So the animal that was shed right from the very beginning was a sheep, was a lamb, would later on portray Jesus Christ. But here you have Abel bringing sheep and Cain, he's a tiller of the ground. And you jump down now to verse number 5, it says, but Cain, let me just read 4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, firstlings. We often note the plurality of the word. Cain could have had one. It was there for the taking. 5 says, If I could read the rest of 4, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Now, sometimes we say God's no respecter of person, but that's a true statement, but it's not wholly true. God will respect you today because of the offering of Jesus Christ. So if you're saved today, God will respect you. Every time God talks about respecting a man or a woman or a person, it's always connected to an offering. That offering being Jesus Christ. But, in verse number 5, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. It was the wrong offering. Cain very wroth, his countenance fell. You go down through here, he talks about sin lying at the door in verse number 7. Verse number 8, and Cain talked with Abel his brother. Came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Right off the bat, man, we got a dysfunctional family. First Bible Church, you fit right in. I don't know of any family that isn't partially dysfunctional. It's just part of life. It's what we inherited from Adam. But I want you to notice as we continue to read. He rises up, he slays him. Verse number 9, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Now, I want you to jump down to verse number 13, because God told him in verse number 11, now art thou cursed from the earth. He said in verse number 12, when you till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. Fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. I want you to look what Cain said, because this is the first time you find the word bear. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. All of a sudden, the very first time, we're going to look at the history of man just a little bit. The very first time that the word bear is used. And yet in 1 Corinthians, it says bear all things. God never intended us to be the way we are today. The next time you go to a funeral, don't blame God. Blame Adam. Because the Bible says as in Adam all die. Yeah, but in Jesus Christ they're all alive. You see. So the next time you go to a funeral and somebody just gets mad at God, and I can really understand that. It's not that I can't understand it. But the whole thing is this, God never intended that. The very first time the word bear appears in your Bible has to do with punishment. God never wanted to punish man. Now we know that he put a mark, some type of a mark, and it's debatable, and books have been written, and people have spoken, and messages have been preached, and on and on and on. I don't care anything about the mark this morning. All right. Whatever it was, you could see it from a distance. But here's what I want you to see. The very first bearing that man had to do was bear punishment. Now, you're in Genesis, go to Genesis 43. Because I want you to see this morning, this message is probably, you could label it, I have good news and I have bad news. But unlike what we say, give me the good news first, I'm going to give you the bad news first. The very first time man talks about bearing something, he's bearing his punishment. Now, let's look at it again. Go to Genesis 43. Now, Genesis 43 is from, I think, Genesis chapter 37. Yes, from Genesis chapter 37, you have the story of Joseph. Now, Joseph has been sold into slavery by his brothers. And he ends up being sold to the Egyptians, the Midianites, and then the Egyptians. And he ends up being a servant, and he spends time in prison. But he ends up rising to a position of authority in Egypt under the Potiphar, with Potiphar and Potiphar's wife and that whole story. But I want you to, if you can just look at chapter 43 with me. There's a famine, and it was in the land. There was sore in the land in verse number 1. And if you go down and read through this, let me just read, I think, maybe 4 or 5 verses to give you the idea of this next bearing. And it came to pass in 43:2, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, Go again, buy us a little food. Judah spake unto him, saying, The man did sob. Now that man was Joseph, by the way. They didn't recognize him. His brothers are standing in front of him and didn't recognize him. That's what Israel, when they crucified the Lord Jesus, they didn't recognize who he was. Their father said unto him, Go again, verse number 3. And Judah spake unto him, saying, The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying. Now watch what he says. They should have picked up on this, but they were so far away from God. Think about the question, the demand that he makes. Ye shall not see my face except your brother be with you. Why? See, Joseph, they had a younger brother. He was Benjamin. Rachel gave birth to Joseph and Benjamin. And she died in childbearing with Benjamin. And that very demand should have just triggered something in their mind. But see, they thought they had gotten rid of Joseph. They had covered their sins, so to speak. They took the animal's blood, put it on the coat. Their father, they lied to their father. Verse number 4. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. Now they have gone back to Jacob. And they have told Jacob, listen, he wants Benjamin to come with us. He asked us that. The father is just distraught about the whole thing, bereaved, and he even uses that word. He's angry that his other sons have gotten Benjamin, because Benjamin's the youngest. He's gotten so angry, but I want you to look, because Judah steps in here in verse number 8, and Judah said unto Israel, his father, verse number 8 of 43, send the lad with me. Send the lad with me. But I want you to jump down to now to C9. Now, keep this in mind. This entire storyline has started because of men's sin. Cain is bearing his punishment. But look at verse 9. Judah says, I will be surety for him. I'll be the down payment. If he doesn't come back, you can kill me. And my hand shalt thou require him, if I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee. Now watch this statement. Then let me bear the blame. So now we've got a man bearing punishment. And now we've got a man bearing blame. Let's go to Exodus 18. I just want to build a case here. Now, you're just about ready to get the law in Exodus chapter 20. But Exodus chapter 12 is the Passover. God, the God of Israel, has taken them out of Egypt. Now got them out of Egypt. They're going through the promised land. Exodus chapter 20, he's just about ready to give them the law. But in Exodus chapter 18... is the story of Jethro. Moses is in the land of the Midians, and he stays there 40 years. Moses' life is divided into three parts, 40 at one part, 40 in Midian, and then 40 back in the wandering of taking the children of Israel out of Egypt. But what you have here, you have Jethro. Moses has married Jethro's daughter. And so Jethro is a father-in-law. And he sees the children of Israel coming to Moses. And Moses is in the stead of God. That's what the scriptures tell us at that time. He's in the stead of God. He's in the place of God. He is that link at that time that they had to have, that they needed, and God provided. But if you look over around verse 22... Jethro decides, he looks at the way Moses is handling all the people. And verse 19, the latter part of it says, Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. Now, We won't get into the, because Jethro, he gave him some counsel that was not the right counsel, and God later on corrected that counsel. That's another message I've preached it many times. Different story, different time. But I want you just to look at verse number 22, because we have a man bearing his own punishment. We have a man bearing his own blame. And now we're going to see a man bearing something else. Look at verse 22. And let them judge the people at all times, these rulers, in verse 21, able men that fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds and rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. Verse 22, and let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself. That's a statement, that's a tell. It's like when you're playing poker and the guy keeps blinking, he's got a twitch. It's called a tell. That statement's a tell. Now watch what it says here. And they shall bear the burden with thee. See, it started out, a man did wrong, sinned against God. He had to bear his own punishment. The children of Israel, starting with Judah, when the story of Joseph, they ended up bearing blame. Now you have a man bearing the burden. And none of this was intended by God. And yet, in 1 Corinthians 13, and we're leading up to something, we are told now to bear all things. God willing, I'm getting to it. But I want you to see the condition that God, that man put himself into, that God is going to correct. Look at Exodus 28 with me. Exodus 28. All through that Old Testament, bearing the burden of service. God was about ready to change. It was a burden. That's what it's called. It's called a burden in the Old Testament. The burden of this, the burden of that. Jesus Christ comes on the scene. He tells his disciples, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Well, the burden in the Old Testament wasn't light. The bearing in the Old Testament wasn't light. Look at Exodus 28. Man has 28:38. Man has put himself into a terrible place. God never intended it. But after I read a couple more verses, we're going to look at what God did about bearing something. Look at Exodus 28. This is the tabernacle now is being created. Seven pieces of furniture. You've got the Levitical priesthood. But look at verse number 26. Exodus 28, and I'm going to read 36. Excuse me, not 26, 36. Exodus 28, just look at 36. Because now you have Aaron, and Aaron's a priest. And it says in verse 36, and without explaining everything, there's clothing. It's clothing that priest was supposed to wear at that time. He says in verse 36, and thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, grave upon it like the graving of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, upon the front forefront of the mitre, it shall be. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead. So it was something on his forehead, something you could see. Now watch the rest of the verse, though. That Aaron may, watch what it says here. It doesn't say God. It says Aaron. That Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel shall hallow and all their holy gifts, and it shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. Aaron was going to become responsible for every neglect or offense respecting the holy things. We have a man bearing punishment. We have a man bearing blame. We have a man bearing a burden. We have a man bearing iniquity. Can I just jump you ahead to Romans chapter 5? Because I think Romans chapter 5, and Pastor has already taught this many months ago. But Romans chapter 5, and I just want you to see a verse. These are verses that are familiar to most of our folks, but we've got folks that have just recently come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I remember, go to Romans chapter 5, and before I read the verse, I remember as a sophomore in high school, Lincoln High School, Canton, Ohio. I'm a sophomore, 15 years old, I guess a sophomore is. I remember sitting in a biology class, and even at that time, the teaching of evolution was mandatory. So that's, I graduated in 68, so you know, back to about 65. The teaching of evolution was mandatory in public schools, even though they were reading the King James Bible over the loud PA system every morning. Okay, but the teaching of evolution. And I wasn't, I don't like the word stupid, but I was an athlete. I know that's hard to tell when you look at me now, but I was an athlete. I played football since I was in the fourth grade. I was a running back. Got halfway decent at it. And I kind of understood the human body. I loved physiology. Just to look at muscles and see how they wrapped and tendons and all the bones and everything. And you work on a certain part of your body and you get stronger. So the thing of evolution didn't... I looked at all of that as far as the human body was concerned, and I said there had to be, somebody had to design this. But I'll never forget sitting in that biology class, and the question that I wanted to ask, but I didn't, the question was, if evolution is true, and we're getting better and better and better and better and better, and you've gone from the primordial soup all the way up to human beings, and it's getting better and better, supposedly, and we know it's not. But you're getting better and better and better. I just want to know why. And man's been here, some say, maybe a million years. Maybe 5 million. You know, I mean, they throw around millions of years like it was a drop of water. You know, to 10 million. How about 30 million? It's like, wait a minute, there's a whole bunch of millions between 10 million and 30 million. But if man's getting better and better and better and better and better, why are we still dying? Don't you think by now we'd have conquered death? I experienced death the first, I was 3 years old. Don't remember it. My grandfather died, my dad's dad. 3 years old. He's 55 years old, died of a heart attack. I don't remember any of it. I see the pictures of Grandpa, one leg. He got hit by a car and had to amputate his leg and all that kind of stuff. I'm 8 years old, my grandmother dies. I'm 13 years old, my other grandfather dies. I'm 17 year old, a friend's dad dies. And it's just like you had the same experiences. If we're evolving and things are getting better, don't you think by now we would have conquered death? But they couldn't answer that question. And then I went to church one morning. Yeah, I went to church. Wasn't saved, but I went to church just like some of you. Some of you are saved. You come to church. No, you're not saved. You come to church. I don't know why. We want you here. Get saved. Don't get mad at me. Just listen. But you know, man had to bear his punishment. Man had to bear his blame. Man had to bear the burden. Man had to bear iniquity. But then I got in Romans chapter 5, and some old southern preacher from Pensacola, Florida, he quoted Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12 and gave me the answer that I was looking for. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. That's why men die. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Seems pretty simple, doesn't it? But you know what? You know what we bear today? Because of this body, we still bear death. They're going to put Verlin in the ground. We've done it here too many times in almost 40 years of being in church. Now, this was man's condition. That's the bad news. That's terrible news. Man's condition. You know what his condition was? He's condemned. He's condemned. Man has charted his own course. That was Adam. He decided he was going to do it his way. Adam better be thankful that when we're all taken to heaven, we get this glorified body and we won't think like we used to think when we were on planet Earth. Because I could see if I didn't have a glory, and you, if we didn't have a glorified body and a glorified mind, I could see a real big crowd surrounding Adam. And I just want to know one thing. What the heck were you thinking? Well, truth be told, just like us, he wasn't thinking. He just wasn't thinking. He just satisfied the moment. And his satisfying the moment, the pleasure in sin for a season, plunged us into what we are today. Now, that's not good news, by the way. You know what man did? I don't know anything about hockey. It's a strange game to me. I've tried to watch it, can't make it. I can't even follow the puck. The puck's flying way too fast. Maybe it's age and glasses and all that kind of stuff, but here's what I get one thing out of hockey. There's a thing called the penalty box, right? Somebody takes a stick and hits somebody else or chucks them into the wall too hard or whatever, and they end up in a penalty box. You know what man did? Man put himself in the penalty box. But he couldn't get himself out. You're in Romans chapter 5. Look at verse number 17. Bear all things. Can I just take you to Romans chapter 5 and verse 17? Because God just didn't stop at verse 12 where it says, "As by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for all of..." That's not good news. That's bad news, by the way. But now you get to verse number 17, and we're going to move away from this thing of where we first find bearing. But there are still things that need to be born today. You're only two-thirds saved. And I want you to remember the progression of first, and I'm not probably going to get to it because my clock's not going to let me. But I am convinced of all, after all these years of reading my Bible, do you know when you really start believing? When you have to bear some things. I didn't get an amen at all. Glory to God. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. But the very first thing, after rejoicing in the truth, was beareth all. And God doesn't play around with words. He just doesn't throw things in your Bible and say, No, there's a purpose to order. There's a purpose to everything he writes. Go to Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Man got himself in a penalty box. He was bearing his own punishment. He was bearing his own blame. And God had instituted the law. We know about that. And the keeping of the law. And there was exceptions made. And man had to have certain sacrifices. And yet James would say, let me ask you a question. We got a lot of fishermen in here. My youngest boy likes to fish. And he's got this, I guess it's an aluminum, call it a bass boat. I don't know anything about fishing. But it's not much of a boat. If you put three people in it, it's full. Let me ask you something. How many holes do you need in a boat in order to sink that boat? If I take a drill bit, I find a drill bit maybe an inch wide, and Matt's casting off the bow or whatever you call it, he's casting, and John's back there fooling around with something, and I'm in the middle with my drill, and they don't know what I'm doing. And he's fishing, and he's screwing around with something, and I'm taking the drill, and I go, one hole. You know where that boat's going to end up? At the bottom of the lake. You know that's what James said? James said, if you keep the whole law and yet offend in one spot, you just sank the boat. But God had made provisions. But still, at the end of the day, did you ever wonder why in Psalm 51, when David sinned, he's repenting his sin of the relationship with Bathsheba, and he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Now, we know that they weren't sealed under the day of redemption. You want to know why? Because they could lose their salvation. They could lose it. They could lose it. That's the condition. I got you in Romans 5. Look at verse 17. "For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one." Now, that's bad news, by the way. That's bad news. Now, let's jump to the good news. "Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Man's in a bad way. Man's condition, he's condemned. He's in a penalty box. God looks at that whole thing. Man can't correct it. I really kind of laugh inside when somebody says, "I'm working my way to heaven." Are you kidding me? Man spent thousands of years. He could not correct the mess he got himself into. He was condemned. He was bearing his own punishment. He was bearing his own burden. He was bearing his own sin. He was bearing death. And then God stepped in again. Can I take you to the gold standard text, as far as I'm concerned, in your Old Testament? Go to Isaiah chapter 53. "Bear all things." Isaiah is that strange, I shouldn't say strange, but it's an unusual book because it has 66 chapters. And if you look at chapter 40, it aligns with the very beginning of the New Testament as far as the books go. 39 books in the Old Testament, so the 40th book after Malachi would be Matthew, at least by the order of books. And in chapter 40, you have the presentation of John the Baptist. But now we're up to Isaiah 53. Because man's in a bad way. Man is bearing, he at that point in time is bearing all things. And we're going to try to end up where, you know what? We're still bearing all things, but it's different things to bear. Where once man bared his punishment and bared his sin and bore his blame and bore the burden and bore iniquity and the results of death. We've often said this at funerals, especially when we have good evidence that the person was saved. You see what you're looking at here, folks? This is called grave clothes. You think it's Pat Dean. This is not Pat Dean. Okay, you can't see Pat Dean. Pat Dean lives on the inside of this. These are grave clothes. They're going to put the body of Berlin in the ground, and that's not Berlin. It's the grave clothes, and yes, we've loved that. It was what we saw, but here's what we have to understand. Because of we sang it this morning. We sang it this morning. Behold Him there, the risen Lamb. My perfect, spotless righteousness. The great, unchangeable I Am. The King of glory and of grace. One with Himself. I cannot die. I don't know what boat's your float, but that boat's my float. Okay? That gets me excited. Let me tell you what. There's practically nothing on the face of this earth anymore that gets me excited but that right there. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. My soul is purchased by His blood. My life is hid. My life is hid with Christ on high. With Christ my Savior and my God. We ought to have kneeling practice in First Bible Church more often. I can see you're all excited about that. The King of Glory. Can I take you to Isaiah chapter 53? Isaiah 53. Man was carrying his own punishment. Man was carrying his own blame. Man was carrying his own burden. Man was carrying Aaron. He bore the iniquity. Man was bearing his own death. And then all of a sudden, God decided it was time to intervene. It was time. In Isaiah chapter 53, we read this often in this church. Can I just read it again as you read it silently? Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. He didn't look like the artist's portrayal. He is despised, verse 3, and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Please, don't just say, oh, I've heard that so many times. Read it to your own self as I read down through here. Say the words silently in your own mind and in your own heart. Because this is what God did to condemned man. Do you know what the cure for man's condition was? The cross. That was the cure for the condemnation of man. That was the cure for man's condemned condition. Was Isaiah 53. This is the cross, beloved. This is the cross. He's despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Now watch this. Verse number 4. Surely He hath borne our griefs. Jesus Christ took the bearing. He took the grief. He took the anguish. He took the sorrow. He took the hate. He took everything that we experience today. And He turned it from condemnation into victory. Surely He hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. With His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Where Aaron once carried the iniquity, that human priest, now the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, would carry our iniquity. Pastor Mike said something this morning, and we're not going to not sing. But sometimes we sing and it just doesn't sink down in. I cannot tell you why this morning. Maybe it was hearing about the homegoing of Verlene. I don't know that. I can't tell you for sure. But as I sat back there and stood beside my wife, I could not compose myself. I want to apologize to some of you. You think I've lost it. You think I've just lost my mind, and I have. I stood up here, and as she was singing, Priscilla, I could not compose myself. I think we think too highly of ourselves. Amen. We forget we were ruined sinners. Ruined. I don't care if you were 5, 55, or 105. Ruined. Wretched. We think too highly of ourselves. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Ruined sinners. I remember how I was ruined. And the unfortunate thing is, I ruined myself enough to where 40-some years later, because this thing still wants to relish in the ruin, I pray and have to stop and ask my God to forgive me. Because there's still part of me that's ruined. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned, he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement? Can it be? I stood there at 20 years of age and said in so many words in my own mind, God, can you save me? Would you take this thing that's absolutely ruined? Oh, I had a, just like this morning, I had decent looking clothes on. I wasn't a biker, outlaw, Hell's Angel, but I was ruined. And I knew I was. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven, exalted high. When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransomed home to bring, then anew, with this song we'll sing. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Back to Isaiah 53. Can I just take you down to verse 11? Verse number 12. He shall see the travail of his soul. The Heavenly Father shall see the travail of the soul of Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. And shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. You know what I've really come to realize? And I don't know where it'll happen for you. But if you get a real good look at what Jesus Christ did for you, you will do nothing but love him. Amen. And all the tinsel and show of this world will fall away. That which you thought was important will be rusted metal. And the only thing that will matter to you will be Jesus Christ alone, alone, alone. Verse number 12, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many. Don't worry about that word many. It's synonymous with all, many other places in Scripture. He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. You know what God did? God paid a price. Man was in a penalty box. Bearing his own iniquity, bearing his own sin, bearing his own reproach, bearing his own condemnation. And God stepped in, saw man's condition, and provided the cure. But there was a price. You see, there was a price. That price was the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's what I want you to see. Do you know we're still, we read it in 1 Corinthians 13. It says, beareth all things. Now, am I still bearing my sin? Absolutely not. Am I still bearing my own burdens? Absolutely not. Am I still bearing the punishment of my sin? No, not anymore. But you know what I get to do now? Can I take you to Acts chapter 9? The Apostle Paul comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He has hailed men and women to prisons. He has held the clothes of the men who stoned Stephen. But in Acts chapter 9, man, the penalty. He could not pay the price of the penalty. The price had to be paid by somebody else. The condition, the cure for man's condition was the cross. But you know what we have today? We're going to see how God corrected man. You know what we have in First Bible Church? Let's call it this building, this main auditorium. You know what we have here today? We have, and I hope it's all of you. But we have men and women, boys and girls, young men and women, who have been corrected. Where once we were in a penalty box, all of a sudden, and couldn't get out. All of a sudden, Jesus Christ decides to pay the price of the penalty box and puts himself in that penalty box. The cross was the cure. The cross was the price. Go to Acts chapter 9. But I'm still supposed to bear things. Beareth all things. Can I take you to Acts chapter 9? And I'm just going to show you, because our time is getting away from us. Can I just show you verse number 15? Paul has gotten saved. Saul, this Jewish man, has come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. This hater of Christians. This killer of Christians. God handpicks him. And I want to read verse number... just number 15. Ananias is sent to find Paul, and he's a little concerned in verse 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints of Jerusalem. Verse 14, and here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call upon thy name. Now, watch 15. We're going to read a man that's been pardoned. All right? He's been pardoned. And I want you to see, here's what I want you to see, beloved. Please, I beg of thee this morning. Here's what I want you to see. Verse 15. I want you to see the privilege that we have as pardoned men and women who are no longer in God's penalty box. I want you to see this. And I don't want you to think beyond where you're sitting today. Some will read this and say, well, do you want me to be a missionary and go to Bongo Bongo Land? I used that, but I have yet to find Bongo Bongo Land on any map. I don't know. Yeah, okay, it's not in Mexico, is it? It's not in Mexico, I know. But I want you to see the privilege where we are no longer in a penalty box. God provided, He paid the price. But now I still am supposed to bear all things. Let me just start by verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, meaning Ananias, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, meaning Paul. Why is he chosen, Lord God? Why? To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. You and I get to bear his name. We get to bear the name of God. I don't have time to get into Peter. Do you know Peter, and he gets badmouthed a lot, and I wouldn't do that, really. Don't badmouth anybody that got his name in the book. Have you got your name in the book? Don't badmouth anybody that put their name in the book, even for a bad reason. Wrote 2 books. Pastored the church of Jerusalem for a long time. But there came a time at the crucifixion, you know what Peter wasn't willing to do? He wasn't willing to align himself with Jesus Christ. Can I tell you the greatest testimony? I think one of the greatest testimonies that you can do for our community around here. When you drive down that parking lot and you get out of your car and you take this book and you put it proudly under your arm and you walk into this building. Because I can guarantee you 99 out of every 100 churches on Staten Island ain't doing that. Ain't doing it. Pardon my bad English, they ain't doing it. Okay? Let me ask you this, beloved. And like I say, bear his name. Do you pray when you sit down at your table with your wife or your husband and children, loved ones? Come on, we're just being real. Do you just bow your head and thank God for his goodness? Thank God for that food? You say, it's only a bowl of soup. I don't give a... Pray. If you do that at home, you know where I'm going with this. If you do that at home, when you go into that 5-star restaurant and you've got all those people sitting around you with their dresses and their suits, and you're dressed up a little bit just trying to put on a good show, and they bring to you course 1, when they break, do you bow your head? You did it at home. You bow your head. Am I criticizing this morning? Absolutely not. Bear his name. Bear his name. Be proud of him. You know he's proud of you. We said it. I don't want to say this wrongly. Our boys lost yesterday. We just gave them a round of applause. We're proud of them. God took this loser. I don't want to say, God took this ruined loser. And he was proud of me. He said, I'll die for him. Because he can't die for himself. Nobody else is in the position to do it. I'll die for him. I just have a little bit of a problem. Because I know I've got problems with my own psyche. But I've got a little bit of a problem when people talk about loving the Lord and You can't, you don't know that. You couldn't tell. You couldn't tell. Bear his name. Just love his name. What do you talk about? What do you talk about the most? We got babes in Christ in here. Got old Christians in here. Let me go down through this and I've got to stop. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit in 1 John 5, 6. Galatians 6, 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens. Romans 15, 1 says, bear infirmities of the weak. Hebrews 13, 13 says, bearing his reproach. Bearing his reproach. Romans 8, 29 says we're being conformed to the image of God's Son. You know what that means? That means we are bearing his image. He's making us look just like him. Maybe not physically. Maybe. I don't know. Let me finish with one. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We've got believers in this place of all age levels. And we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Because do you know what part of this life is? Part of this life is bearing temptation. Part of this life is bearing problems. And we sometimes look at all of that as a barrier to our growth in Jesus Christ. When, as I read my Bible, and if God willing, I get another chance down a few months to expand on all this, bearing all things is not a barrier. It's beneficial. It's absolutely necessary that we experience whatever God has hand-designed for you. What God hand-designs for you, He won't hand-design for me. Cancer has knocked on the Dean house twice now. Twice. Never saw it coming. It's just part of the... Now, we can look at all of that. Some of you are in financial trouble. Some of you have marital problems. But none of these things... Go to 1 Corinthians 10. None of these things were permitted by God to bury you. They were allowed to buoy you, to be a benefit so that you could believe. Because I am convinced that beyond salvation... You read 1 Corinthians 5:13 about believing on the name of the Son of God, and then the latter part of the verse says, and that ye may believe. Do you know how you grow in Jesus Christ? It's through heartache. It's through problems. It's through dilemmas. It's through failures. It's through setbacks. And that's just the truth. Now you say, I don't like that. Well, I don't either. I'm not going to lie to you. But let me tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to get so mad at my preaching and you and God that I just leave First Bible Church and join another church. But I know a lot of people who have. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. Now, if you look down through this, this is the story of the children in the wilderness. And in verse number 5 says, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. They had been defeated. Now, they had been redeemed. Remember Exodus 12? They had been redeemed. And I'll close on this. They had been redeemed. God had provided. But all of that journey through the wilderness, they got murmuring and discouraged. And oh, but you know what? All of that was intended for? It was intended so that they could believe more in God. Now look at verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples. An ensample is a type. It happened unto them for ensamples. They would be a type for us. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now 12 and 13. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Now, that could be anything that your mind wants to grab a hold of today. Anything. I won't even honor that statement by going down a list. Whatever tempts you. But God is faithful. So there's a big plus right there. Who, now watch this, who, that thing that I think is going to crush me, that thing that I think is a barrier when really God intended it to buoy me and be a benefit to my believing on Jesus Christ. I do not think today, after 40 plus years of being saved and reading this book faithfully, year after year after year, that you could actually grow in Jesus Christ without problems. There's got to be heartaches. There's got to be graveyards. There's got to be hospital beds. There's got to be children that are wayward. There's got to be problems. There's got to, in order for you to grow in Jesus Christ. Or you and I become sterile. Look at 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able. He didn't take the temptation away. How dare he? Doesn't he know that I love him? Doesn't he know how frail I am? But will with the, well, watch this. But will with the temptation, now watch this. He's not taking any temptation away. Also make a way to escape. And I want you to notice that's not a period. As a comma. He's going to make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Let me close with just one statement. Do you know what your way of escape is? You're holding it in your hands. You're holding the way of escape in your hands. He's not going to take the temptation away. You're going to take it to the grave. And I would dare say when God solves one problem in your life, don't get depressed. Don't get discouraged. That's just part of the makeup of believing. And when God solves one problem, guess what? Another one crops up. That's just life. There's old timers in here. Guess what? God just doesn't just give you a pass. Do you know why? Do you know why God let Lazarus die? We didn't even go there. Do you know why God was 4 days late in John chapter 11? It was his friend, by the way. He loved Lazarus. He deliberately hung out where he was for 4 days. Do you know why he did that? You read John chapter 11. He said, to the intent that you may believe. He let his friend die so that the people around that gravesite could believe. Now, I know some of you don't like that. But you know what we're dedicated to here? We're dedicated to teach you the Bible. We're dedicated to teaching you the truth. And that's just part of it. Beareth all things. I get the privilege. I'm no longer bearing penalty. I have been, the price has been paid. The cross. I get the privilege now to carry the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a privilege. What a stinking privilege. Oh, my word. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.